Brother Harry Parker is going to be bringing the word tonight, and I'm very glad that this is happening. And let's welcome him as he comes to bring us the word of God in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Harry. God bless you tonight.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I have had a tough couple of days, I thought, you know, and felt tired and wore out and all. And got home this afternoon and actually lay down, took a nap for about 30 minutes. Got home a little bit after 5, I guess. And then I see Pastor Jim walk in. And as soon as I looked and seen his face, he was smiling. And I said, boy, you ain't got nothing to be tired about. This guy's traveled halfway around the continent. You have nothing. Nothing. My Lord. What is this? And then the Holy Spirit. I have some stuff prepared and some stuff wrote down. And Susan's give Brandon some scriptures. And I'll be honest with you. I think God's changing that. I think he's changing. That's fine with me. Amen. Amen. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. I want to tell you a little funny thing to start with. There was this farmer. I'm a farmer, and there's some farmers in the church and all. But there was this farmer named Joe. And Farmer Joe had his favorite cow, Bessie. And he decides he's going to take Bessie to the vet. She's not been doing quite right. So he loads her up in the trailer, and he starts down the road. And he's going along, and all of a sudden, at this intersection, this 18-wheeler was not really running real fast, but he run through the intersection and run into the side of him. Well, it broke the trailer loose from the truck, spun the old truck around. Farmer Joe, he got hurt some, but he was alive. And they hear Bessie over there. She's just moving. Well, the highway patrolman pulls up on the scene, and he sees the patrolman get out and walk over to Bessie and take his pistol out and, bam, shoots her. And so then the patrolman come walking back over to him and still had the pistol out, and he said, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. I'm just fine. There's nothing wrong with me. So insurance company's name was Shyster Insurance. Well, old Shyster Insurance did not want to pay. They weren't paying nothing. Now, he's lost Bessie, and he's got some medical bills going on. So finally he thinks, well, I better go to court. These people are just not going to do right, so I better go to court and get this straight. So he gets in court, and here's old Lawyer Slick. Lawyer Slick's standing up there, and he's parading around, and he says, I got this old boy. He said, now, Farmer Joe, didn't you say on the scene that there was nothing wrong with you? You were fine? He said, yes, sir. He said, no, that's all. And the judge spoke up and said, no, let him say what he needs to say. He said, well, the reason I did that is because when the trooper pulled up, my cow, Bessie, who was going to the vet, was in bad shape, evidently, and I seen this trooper go over there and take the revolver and shoot her. And then he had the revolver and he come ask me. I weren't going to say something was wrong with me. No, I didn't want to get shot. You know, a lot of times, the truth is the truth. But sometimes, guys, it appears to be different than what it is. Tonight, I wanted to talk about salvation tonight. And, you know, the first and foremost thing about salvation, years ago, we were in the Baptist church, and we were in evangelism explosion, and we went knocking on doors every Thursday night. We were so obnoxious and so to the point that there was people that would actually turn the lights off and say, oh, it's that crowd from the church. You could hear them whispering. They wouldn't come to the door. You know, but we went. We went. We were obedient. And the truth is, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is effectual. The Word of God will not return to God void. But the Word of God without God's Spirit upon it has no power. That's why heathens, lost people, intellectual people can read the Bible and not have a clue. The power of the Holy Spirit upon that Word makes it a rhema word. And brings it alive. I would like to look, but you know, John 3:16. Most people would probably know that. My first scripture tonight would be John 3:16. But you know, when we talk about salvation, being saved, salvation, what are we saved from? And I would like some interaction now, somebody to just volunteer some things, that whatever you think or whatever your word has said about that. What are we actually saved from? I mean, if you're saved, you got to be saved from something, right? Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Sin? Amen. Amen. You know, there's going to be a day, and we're saved from the flames of hell. It's a hellfire and a damnation eternally burning forever and ever, a place of torment. We're saved from that. But we're also saved from the curse. He became a curse for us. We're saved from so many things. What are we saved to? If you're saved from something, you're bound to be saved to something, right? So we're saved to every benefit of Calvary. We just stood up here and sung about healing. We're saved to the healing grace. We're saved to the nine fruits of the Spirit. We're saved to the nine gifts of the Spirit. We're saved. We're free. When he done a complete work on Calvary, it was when he said, "It's finished." We were reconciled and restored, made whole, made whole. We have been fed such a bunch of lies. Praise God for doctors. There's no healing power on medicine or doctors or anything else if it was not for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one that has done that. But guys, do we put our hope and our trust in Jesus, in his Holy Spirit? You see, Holy Spirit's the one that draws us, that convicts us. Before we ever go out to witness, we should pray and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to order our steps, to direct our paths. There was a time in my life also when I was not obnoxious, and I realized that the gospel was a good thing, that you were special, that God loved you. And when you start telling people about the love of God instead of the judgment and the wrath of God, all of a sudden people start listening. I mean, people, we can be defensive, all of us, you know. I mean, if I like Fords and you come up and you start bad-mouthing Fords, you've got me on the defense already. If you keep on, pretty soon I might get on the offense and start bad-mouthing whatever you like. That's human nature. Holy Spirit, there's power in the gospel. And there's something in this room, there's somebody that each and every one, from the least to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, can reach that nobody else in this room can reach. Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us favor, ordained favor. He's called us. We see this right here. This is powerful. We're not requested or asked. We're commanded to go forth and share the gospel. And we share the gospel, the life we live, the way we respond, the way we act, and the words that we speak and say. But to be so sensitive to the needs of Holy Spirit to reach these people, that will become hands, feet, voices, mouthpieces, and realize that what we have is so much more than just escaping the flames of eternal damnation. We have, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to seek and to save that which was lost, which was me, which was everybody in here at some point. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. He come to destroy the works of the devil. When we have this glorious benefit called salvation, this birthright, we are birthed into a whole new dimension that we do not walk in. We settle for so much less than what is our inheritance. You know, we have authority. We've been given godly authority based upon the Word of God, based upon His reconciling us, His righteousness. You know, Christianity, religion, is when man is reaching up to God. reaching up to God. In all his futile attempts, he's reaching up to God. Christianity is when God reached down to man. He transcended all that. And he done a complete work on Calvary. A complete work. John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, can we really conceive that, comprehend that? God so loved the world. That means not everything that I would consider lovable, but as it was. Billy Graham just passed away, 99 years old. And I heard that Dr. Graham has said one time that one day you would read or you would hear that he has died, that he has passed away. Don't believe a word of that. That's what he said. He said, I've just changed my address. I'm more alive now than I've ever been. I'm in the presence of my King and my Savior. And that's the truth. That's the truth, guys. Death's no big deal. John Starnes used to sing a song, Death's No Big Deal. If we know that we're going to live eternally. But I'm telling you, there's life eternally, life abundantly now. God has plans for us. We have a hope and a future and a calling and a destiny. Amen? And when we share the gospel, we're sharing that with other people. You know, the enemy would want to deceive you and make you be intimidated and not go and not share the gospel and all. That's just the enemy. The easiest, the greatest joy, I think, of anybody is when you are present, when Holy Spirit has set a soul free. When somebody has come out of darkness and come to light. Somebody's come to know Jesus. Somebody's caught the truth of the gospel and made him Lord of their life and surrendered their life to him. You know they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. Billy Graham always sung the same song, Just As I Am. We don't have to get dressed, rehearsed, practice and change this and change that. Just as I am, without one plea. God loves you and he loves me. You're special. You're precious. And you are the bride of Christ, the children of Christ. He is your kinsman. He is your redeemer. He's your savior. He's the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. There's none like him. He goes ahead of you. He covers you. His rear guard is powerful. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Every tongue that exalteth itself against you in judgment, you shall condemn, because it's your righteous inheritance in the Lord. Mark, well, no, I hadn't looked at the rest of this. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm telling you guys, that means so much more than what we think. Eternally, we're going to live in the presence of our King. But we have eternal life now. We have abundant life now. And the question is, are we walking in that? Is your portion, if we could really see in the spirit realm what he has portioned out and set aside for each of us, and we see where we're walking in now and what we're obtaining and what we have access to, we would really be disappointed, I think, for the most part. We think, why, Lord, me? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But you've been made partakers because of him. He's taken you just as you are, and he sees what you can be. And he knows that my destiny is tied to every person in here. I'm not an island. We are uniquely woven together and knit together to become a body. To become a body that'll survive and thrive and carry the gospel where there seems to be no way. God is the way. God not only makes a way, he is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. There's nothing without God, and in him is everything. Everything. I want each and every one of you to look up right now. I want you to shut your eyes, and I want you to say, tonight is my night. Tonight is my night for my inheritance, for my portion. I'll not settle for anything less. You have ordained that I was here this night. Father, I understand something. It's not about me, certainly not me. I would be the least, but it's all about you. It's all about you and what you want to do. It's all about you and how you want to do. Guys, I had some stuff here. Let's look at Mark 16, 19. You have that scripture, Mark 16, 19. Amen? 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be damned. People believing. What do we believe? What do we believe? We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. We believe that Jesus died on a cross because there was a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is eternal death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Ephesians says, for we're saved by grace, not of works, through faith, lest any man should boast. Not anything I did. He done it all. I done the believing. I told Susan one day a couple of months ago, I said, baby, we were raised as Southern Baptists. You can't convince me in no way. I got saved. I really got saved at 12 years old. At 12 years old, I went forward and I asked a preacher. He asked me, he said, do you want to join the church? I said, no. I wanted to get saved. I didn't want to join the church. I didn't know much, but I knew I needed to be saved. He said, go back to your seat. I thought, what? So I turned around and went back to my seat. But I done and asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me. Because them little Sunday school teachers had taught us in church and Sunday school that you must repent. There's a penalty for sin. And he paid the debt. Repent and ask him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins, and I shall be saved. Well, that preacher didn't understand that evidently. God bless him. I hope he woke up. I hope he wasn't a lot more like me. But I got a lot of tenacity and bulldog-type stuff, not sanctified determination like some in the house. But I kept on. And at 15 years old, we were having a revival, and this evangelist and a different preacher at that time come. I guess that other guy was going on down the road and getting somebody else saved now, praise God. But he came to the house on a Wednesday afternoon in September. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I asked Jesus into my heart in front of them. I done told my mama that I got saved. But I really believe I was saved at 12 years old. Well, that night, and they sung Just As I Am, I couldn't wait for the first stanza, and here I'm in the aisle. And I'm up there, and it was real. It was just as real for me as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was real. I was transformed. I was not my own. I'd been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I said, but baby, we got missed out. We didn't understand about the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My first Assembly of God pastor told me, he said, Harry, I was so excited. Me and Susan went to the Assembly of God Church, and I was so excited because I said, wow, these people, they've got hold of it. They're laying hands on the sick. They're anointing with oil. Well, I was all fired up. And Pastor Mike said, Brother Harry, I'm going to tell you something. He said, my professor in seminary said if we could get 100 Southern Baptists Spirit-filled, they'd win any city in the United States for Jesus Christ in less than a year. He said, they have work ethics. He said, you're going to find out that we're all dressed up, but nowhere to go. We're lazy. I thought, what? I mean, really? And honestly, guys, it does take work. It takes effort to go and to do and to be. It takes leaning not into my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledging him. I said, but baby, then the next thing come along that we got robbed of was my inheritance. Stolen identity. I got ripped off. This healing that we sing about, that we read about, it's ours. It's ours. It's our portion. It's our inheritance. It's been done. It was paid for in completeness just as much as my salvation was. So here I am, see, because that was taught to me and taught to me. I've never doubted my salvation. But I've been through this place where I said, oh, God, I know you can heal me. That's a lie. He's already healed me. God don't have to go do something else. Jesus don't have to go do something else. It was a finished, complete work. I've heard by people that's a lot smarter than I am that there were 39 stripes and there were 39 root causes to all disease. He didn't leave anything unturned. Anything did he leave unfinished. I believe with all my heart, it's very, very important who we go see as a doctor. Calvin, my brother, gives you an excellent word. He went, my brother, last week, he went to an eye for an eye exam, and they checked his blood pressure, and it was high. So they told him, said, you need to go see your doctor, and he went to Calvin. And couldn't get the blood pressure regulated right, and she said, you need to see a cardiologist, somebody that's, you know, a specialist in this. So he goes, he gets a heart monitor and puts it on, and it's supposed to work 14 days. And the 12th day, he was supposed to have went for a stress test. But the thing started peeling his skin off and all. I don't know if he's having some kind of reaction or something. So he takes it off at 10 days. I don't have that kind of rebellious spirit, but he did. He peeled it right off. So he peeled it off. Of course, that cardiologist calls him up and says, look, I know you've taken this thing off, and I've been looking at your tape, and you've got problems. Where are you at? He said, I'm at the shop working on my tractor. He said, you need to sit down. He said, no. He said, I'm going to send the ambulance to pick you up. He said, no, I got a dental appointment this afternoon. He said, no, I'm the head cardiologist, and you don't have a dental appointment. You need to sit down. You got to get to the hospital. And then he told him, he said, I don't know why you're not dead. He said, you could have dropped dead anywhere. Well, that just shook him up. I mean, that just tore him up from the floor up. So Deborah, his wife's going to carry him to the hospital. So he calls, and she called me and said, you know, go in and pray and all. And I said, okay. So me being this great man of faith, she sticks the phone over there towards him, and I start praying. He starts crying. By gosh, I started crying. I said, Lord, he's my brother, and I love him, but he's your son, and you love him more. And I speak life over him. I ask favor with the doctors, favor with the medicine, and I speak life over him. I ask that you resurrect him, that you touch him. We went, they airlifted, not airlifted him, but transported him to Greenville and got him over there, and they put a pacemaker on. And not sure if he's got any blockages or any of that stuff, but they'll go back later and check that. But anyway, we went, and the cardiologist over there told him, he says, you're a miracle. He said, you should have been dead several times. He said, you're a miracle. He said, if you'd have stepped on that treadmill, you wouldn't have lived a minute. He said, your heart would go like, I forget how many seconds, so it beat 20 times a minute or something, but it would just skip and flatline. He said, somebody's got their hand on you. And Henry, he's just testifying and all. But God is awesome. We don't begin to know. He's no respecter of people. He's no respecter of people. Reaching out and touching and winning lost people. Psalms 126 says, he who goes to and fro with his bag of seed weeping shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can we weep over the lost? I heard where Mr. Lake says, God, give me Africa. And the bubonic plague was going on in Africa. I mean, there's people that have cried out and cried out for what would seem to be impossible. What are we crying out for? What are we contending for? Are we settling for something? Are we lukewarm? Are we apathetic? Are we just like, this is my role and I'm just going to accept this as my portion? Or are we asking heaven, asking the King of Glory, Lord, what is your report? You know, Terry and I used to pray together a lot. And we'd say, whose report do we believe? And we believed the report of the Lord. And we saw that. We wanted to know what God was saying about this. I mean, I'm telling you, God's report is so different than our report. I just had a situation this week that we were going to go to court over a thing. And so the lawyer calls us up and we go in. And I asked Susan, I said, Susan, what would you consider a win? She said, well, if we got X number of dollars, and it was a lot of money, like $100,000 or something. I said, praise God, that would be a win. She said, what's your win? I said, if we don't have to pay no money. Because we were on the line for $155,250. I said, we don't have to pay no money. I won. And so we go in there, and the lawyer says, well, we've got a settlement. I said, praise God. And he says, if you bring, I had a piece of equipment, and he said, if you bring it back, and it was mine, and give it to them, they'll drop that. Well, the piece of equipment was worth maybe $6,000. And I'm thinking, well, that's a no-brainer, but I'm not liking that. My flesh isn't liking to give anything that I got. You know? And I'm like, so what else do I get? He said, well, that's it. They're going to drop everything. I said, really? And so, you know, and the attorney says, you are really nice people. And he said, of all the people I've had in here, you have been took advantage of every way imaginable. He said, I just can't even imagine. He said, and Susan says, well, this too shall soon pass. Spiritual Susan. I said, I'll tell you, I got a side of me that would let her rise up, and I could hurt that old boy. I said, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. No, I refuse to go there. And so last night at 2 o'clock, and I had to get up early this morning at 3, and at 2 o'clock I'm wide awake, and God's wanting to talk to me, and I'm like, not now, not now. Come on. And I couldn't get no rest. I said, Susan, I'm getting up. And the Lord says, look, that guy's not your enemy. I use that guy. Your blessing's $155,250. Mine is $6,000. $149,250. Are you going to give thanks for it? Or are you going to complain about it? I said, praise God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, a man of unclean lips. Forgive me, Lord. I do not mean to be double-minded. No, sir. Forgive me, Jesus. I need some more blessing at my table. Amen. Many times, what appears to be is not. See, I'm looking at that thing like he's my enemy. Like, boy, I'm going to get hold of him. No, that's not what I need to do. I need to thank God for him. Amen? I just let you know a little secret. I didn't have $149,000 in the bank. God did. I didn't have it, but he did. He has everything that everybody needs tonight here. It doesn't matter if it's restoration. God's a God of so many. Lord, have mercy. 7 times 70, that don't even begin to touch what Jesus. He's the God of new beginnings. Guys, I'm telling you, don't stay down. Don't beat yourself up. Don't wallow in the mully grubs. Get up, shake it off, and say, that isn't me. That's not my portion. It's about like that old mule that fell in the well. The old farmer decided, well, the mule was getting old and ain't much good in no way, so he just buried him. So they started throwing dirt in. And the mule kept shaking that dirt off. Terry got here one night and shook. He can shake a lot better than I can. He shook that dirt off. And pretty soon, you know what? There's enough dirt in that hole. The mule stepped right out of the hole. Weren't even a hole no more. What are we going to do? We're going to be buried or we're going to rise? Amen, guys. Jesus is Lord. This is nothing like what I wanted to talk about tonight. You know, I've got a lot of scriptures right down here and a lot of things, but I really, really believe with all my heart that we must lean not into our own understanding. We must submit to God, pray, ask him to order our steps and to direct our paths. Because I'm going to tell you, I told you earlier that I went out every Thursday night and I knocked on doors. And I was like a jack-in-the-box. My first question was, do you know if you died, you go to heaven? Trick question. Don't matter what you say, I got to come back. If you say yes, I say, how do you know? I mean, I'm going to put you on the defense right now, and I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat you. Bap, bap, bap. You know, all with scripture. No love. No, sir. You didn't feel no love. You felt like, who is this guy? He's a prosecutor. You know, God don't need prosecutors. Amen. He need love agents. He need brother love to come along, sister love to come along, and love on some people. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started understanding that, and I started loving on people. And all of a sudden, I'd walk into a store, stop sometimes, didn't have a clue why I'm stopping, walk in a place, and somebody say, not even said a word. So I say, you're a Christian, aren't you? I say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Can you tell me about Jesus? I'd love to. And I always started out with, you're special. God so loved the world that he loved you, that he gave his only begotten son for you, so that you could have eternal life, so you could take place and be his son. You know, I heard one time, and it was probably as powerful a thing as I ever heard, and it was supposed to have been a true story, but it was over the Intercoastal Waterway, and there was a train bridge, a drawbridge, and this train was coming. And this guy, he had a little boy, and I'll call his name Johnny. I don't remember what the little boy's name was. But they were older parents, and they were late having this child come. And this little boy went every day with his daddy to that drawbridge. He loved to play down there and all. And so when the train would come through, like at 4:15 or whatever time it was, every day it was like clockwork, they'd have to close the bridge. And one day the little boy fell, and the daddy's hollering and told him, said, Johnny, come on up here. And back in those days, there weren't cell phones and there weren't all that stuff, you know. And the little boy couldn't. His foot was caught in that bridge. He'd fell, and his foot got caught in them gears. And the daddy says, Johnny, come on up here. He could see the train down, the light on it and all. Then he could hear it. And he knew that he didn't have but just a few seconds. And if he didn't punch that button, that train's going to go into water. He's crying. He said, Johnny, come on. He said, Daddy, okay. He started to run to him. He realized he couldn't make it. So he turned around. And that daddy, broken, crying, and ripped his heart out, pressed that button, and that drawbridge closed on his son and crushed him. And he stood there and he watched that train go by. And on that train, all these people are laughing and talking, eating and carrying on. And this guy said, that's so much like Jesus Christ and God the Father. God let him hang on a tree for you and me. Nobody really knew what the sacrifice was, but the Father gave him so that you could have eternal life and full benefits of everything to be restored completely to your created position before any fall. It's all yours. It's your inheritance. It's who he's called you to be, not after you cross the pearly gates, but here in this earth. To walk in victory, to be led by his Spirit. But we need to wake up. It's ours. It's ours. It's here. It's for the asking. It's for the believing. It's for the believing. I really want to let's pray tonight. And I'll tell you what else I've seen. And I told Susan this the other day. I have seen that there's going to be healings and healing services in this church. And I shared this one time with Pastor Jim a couple years back. And I seen it like on Thursday night was just going to be special healing nights. But this is going to happen all times. There's going to be people that we don't know. People we don't have a clue who they are. And it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter about the person. It's about the Holy Spirit. There's people that's out here right now that people will be in these lines. There's no way for these lines. We wouldn't have enough time to stand here all night and pray for all those people. But there's going to be people in those lines right here that's going to walk up to people, and they're going to be gifted, and they're going to be anointed, and they're going to lay hands on somebody. And if it is blind eyes, if it's tumors, doesn't matter, whatever, they're going to be healed and made whole. They're going to be healed and made whole. And I believe that's going to happen in this house, on this property, right here in Beulahville, North Carolina. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. It's not something we can orchestrate, we can drum up, we can work up. It's something that God Almighty is going to do. It's a divine encounter. I believe we're going to see a mighty, mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. We have people that are called into the healing ministry in this church. I believe that. I believe that God is going to use them. But I'm also talking about supernatural things that can't be explained by man, except that it must have been the hand of the Lord. It must have been the hand of the Lord. But I'd like to pray tonight, and I would like for everybody tonight to be sensitive, because I believe that everybody here, you know, it's sort of like one time Jan Crouch, her and her husband on TBN, probably one of the biggest television networks for Christian ministry. And Jan Crouch was depressed, really depressed about her. Children were small, and I heard her give this testimony, and she said that she couldn't even stand to get dressed and go downstairs and cook for them. They were little boys and had two of them. And Easter Sunday, they bought her a dress. She said, "I'd go days and not even bathe." Deep depression. Now, here they have all these world-renowned preachers and people that, you know, are involved in that ministry. They're all praying, but nothing's happening. She's just living in misery. She said, and so they come, the little boys help me get ready. She said, and I weren't half clean. Got me a new dress on. We went to this little church that we go to, a little church. And she said, we got there, and I wanted to sit on the back. She said, and I'm sitting on the back. And she said, I look around, and there's one woman in that church, a young woman, that's in worse shape than I am. And my heart broke. And I said, God, Lord, please. She said, I could relate to where she was at because she was worse than me. I didn't think nobody could be worse than me. She said, and I'm crying, Lord, send somebody to her. Send somebody. And she said, the Lord said, you go. She said, there's all kind of anointed people in this church. Send somebody to pray for her and love on her. He said, you go. She said, nobody would go. They're ignoring her. Act like they don't even see her. She said, so finally nobody's going to go. And I get up. And I go up there. And I put my arms around her. And she said, I know I stink as bad as she stinks. And she stinks. And I started loving on her and praying for her. She said, and God delivered her and healed her. But you know what else? He delivered me and healed me. All at the same time. She said, and I had not been willing to go. Willing to move out of my comfort zone, get out of my pity party, and where I was at, I wouldn't have been healed, and she wouldn't have been healed because nobody else was going. God kept saying, you go. She said, and I didn't understand, but there was more available for me. I needed it as bad or worse than she did. And many times, guys, that's the way it is. What you need, you have already, if you're willing to give it. If you're willing to exalt Jesus, to lift him high. The word says if he be high and lifted up, all men will be drawn unto him. If you're willing to be that person that will deny yourself, take up his cross and go and do what he's leading you to do. Many, many times, that's where you find he's your comforter, he's your helpmate. He's your Alpha and he's your Omega. He's your redeemer, he's your restorer. He's your kinsman. He's your advocate. He is your closest friend that you ever have. There's nothing hidden from him. But yet he don't walk in condemnation and judgment of you. He don't embarrass you. He loves you. He's a reconciler. He's the one that brings us together. He's the one that would help love cover a multitude of wrongs suffered. Only in Christ and Christ alone. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where is Jesus in this place tonight? I'll tell you where I think he is. He's at each and every heart tugging, beckoning, calling, saying, come. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Whatever it is, the burden may seem heavy for us, but I assure you, for him, it's easy. He already understands. He already knows. Those things that we may think are secret and dark things that we don't want to reveal, he knows. He knows. He's already, already. No temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man, except that through Christ Jesus, he's made a way out. Amen. We don't have to stay there. He's made a way out. And I'll tell you this, I've said for years and years, if I'm having marital problems, let me have somebody come pray for me that's had marital problems and been delivered. If I have cancer, send me somebody that's had cancer and been delivered and healed. If I have financial problems, send me somebody that's faced the pit of financial despair and seen the hand of God deliver and come forth. I love and I cherish those prayers. And see, that's our testimonies. Our testimony is just something that we went through. God already knew. He's already gone ahead of us and made a way for us. Made a way for us. Could somebody please get on the keyboard tonight and start playing something? Amen. Danny the Anointed. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're blessed. We have so much anointing in this church. So much anointing. So much power into the kingdom of God. So much, guys. Tonight, I want you to examine yourself. And are you doing and being all that God's called us to be? Are we going where he's called us to go? Are we doing what he's called us to do? Are we walking in the fullness of our inheritance? Are we walking in all the benefits that he's provided? And guys, if we're not, the enemy can't rip us off. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But Jesus Christ has made a way. He's made a way. It does not matter what it is that we're facing. There may be some tonight that's facing something that seems to be really devastating, really overwhelming. And with men, this would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Only him and him alone. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. And he knows the plans that he has for you. And I'm telling you, people, we need to learn to dream big. We need to learn to expect big. We need to learn to expand our borders. We need to learn, not because of me, but because of him, who he is, what he's done. Every foe was defeated. Every disease was defeated. Everything. You see, how he does something really doesn't matter. He's God. He don't work. He's not a jack-in-the-box. It's not a little formula that you can go over here and mix this amount of flour and mix this amount of butter and this amount of sugar and this amount of baking powder, and it's going to turn out the same way every time. Every cake I make turns out different. But he's God, and he and him alone desires to heal and restore and see you move to your destiny, to move where you're at. I'm telling you something, too. I believe with all my heart, many, many times we look around and we think, well, I'm the least. That's what Gideon said. And God's saying, nah, you don't see what I see. You don't know what I've called you to be, who I've called you to be. And if we lean not to my own understanding, but if I trust him, what can God do? What can God do with one man or one woman that totally submits and yields to him, that totally takes off all restrictions and all boundaries, that says you and you alone, you first, in spite of me, not because of me, but in spite of me, Lord, you move, you. I'm telling you, the greatest inventions have not come. There is a gifting and an anointing for finances in this church and in this body that we can't begin to imagine from a little old place like Beulahville. I'm telling you, there's people that are called and equipped and prepared. And if we look at them, we don't see any of that because they can't even see it themselves. But that's a lie. What is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying? What is he beckoning and calling us to be and do? That's who we want to be. I'm telling you, he's here, and he's powerful, and he's wonderful. And his ways are so much higher than our ways. So much, I don't know what we expected tonight when we come to church. I expected, I had a little outline, and I'm going to do that outline. And then the Holy Spirit changed all that as I come in here tonight. And so really and truly, I'm just trying to be led by God's Spirit because I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient because when that happens, he'll be lifted up and he will rise. And what God does, no man can begin to duplicate or touch or do. And we can't improve on it. We just need to receive it and flow in it and let him be God. Let God arise and let our enemies be scattered. I'm fully convinced that the most destructive force I face every morning is that negative guy that's saying in the mirror back at me, "You can't do that." "Do what? That was a crazy dream." "Oh, no, no, you don't understand. That can't happen." Nobody else probably does that. Gets up and looks in the mirror that morning. But if you can subdue that thing in that mirror and say, "I'm more than a conqueror, not by strength or by might, but by God's Spirit. Lord, give me somebody today, somebody that I can be a witness to, somebody that needs Jesus. Give me somebody to pray for today, Father. I need healing today, Lord, so I understand something. I need to give some healing out. Not my healing, but your healing. I need finances today, Lord." You know, a guy in this church one time, he was between jobs, needing a better job, and the Lord told me, he says, "Give him some money." And I think we had a guest speaker here. Anyway, this guy come to me and he said, "I just want to let you know something." He said, "The Lord reminded me that what in your hand wouldn't meet your need, let it be your seed." I said, "Praise God, that's yours." And he sowed it as a seed. And I guess I'd give it with the intention of him getting some groceries and stuff and getting by. But guess what? He got a job making a whole lot more money than I imagined. And probably he imagined. But God knew. God knew what he needed. And he didn't lean into his own understanding. I'm telling you, the kingdom works different. In the world system, you hold it back, and you hoard it up, and you press it down. And God says you shake it together, and you pile it up higher, and it's going to run over. And as it's going and giving and blessing others, it's going to bless you. Amen. You cannot outgive God. What does God want to do with each and every one here tonight? I understand something too, see. God could anoint any number of people, Pastor Wade, Pastor Jim, a number of people in this church tonight, and they could read our mail. But see, you know, Holy Spirit is a personal, intimate God, and he's speaking into our hearts. He spoke already things about our healings, our restoration, our future, discoveries, inventions, creativity. He has already spoke those things into us. And most of the time, we just don't quite understand how to reach out. I said, "That's mine, Lord." I'm telling you, it's for a time such as this. In the body of Christ, we need to get ready, get ready, get ready. Because it's this time. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the acceptable day of salvation." No need for another day, another tomorrow. I was always amazed by the plagues. When the frogs come, and Pharaoh and them said, "One more night with the frogs." I'm thinking, how crazy is that? They knew they were going to give in, but they wanted one more night with the frogs. We don't have to put up with this stuff. If it's not God ordained, if it's not in God's destiny and his plan for you, then you don't have to tolerate that. You don't have to lay down and accept that. You start contending for it. You start rising. And God will speak. And he'll order our steps. And what needs to be lined up will line up. some things need to change. I had to repent this morning at 2 o'clock. I didn't want to wake up. And I certainly didn't like what I started hearing. But you know what? As soon as I received that, and I repented, as soon as that happened, I had total peace. I had an understanding about something. And then all of a sudden, I could give thanks. I could truly give thanks. God is awesome, people. He's awesome. Tonight, if you're here and you need prayer, and I'll be honest, it's nothing I have, but Jesus has something for everybody. Everybody. He's more than able. I don't know what you're facing. I'll be honest, there's times in my life that God has revealed things and I could read people's mail and understand exactly. That's not happening tonight because He's God. He knows everything. But tonight, whatever you need is at the foot of the cross. And He's already paid for it. You have a deed, a title deed that's been assigned to you for that. It's yours. Been purchased, been paid for. Don't belong to anybody else. It's yours. That's who He is. That's how intimate and personal He is. It's yours. And it's yours. But if you don't recognize it, you don't reach out for it, you don't contend for it, He's still got it. I believe there's so many things that He has that He wants to bestow on us, and we just do not understand. We settle for less. We can believe, and isn't this strange? We can believe for other people more than we can believe for ourselves. That's not right. That's not right. Jan Crouch could believe for that woman, that altar, more than she could believe for herself. She didn't even realize it, and something was going to happen to her when she went. Finally, it was on her so bad, she had to go. He's more than able. He's more than able, guys. So as you all pray and you seek that and you deal with that, I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm telling you, if you want Jesus to do something in your life, you start contending. You start seeking. You start knocking. You start opening the door. You start doing those things. Because He don't have a deaf ear. He's a good Father. If you ask Him for a loaf of bread, He won't give you a rock. If you ask Him for a fish, He won't give you a serpent. He's a good, good Father. And He cares for you. He loves you. He has better things in store for us than we can imagine. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord. I give You glory and I give You honor. We yield and submit to You. And I would say, Lord, have Your way. Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts. Stir up deep things into us and stir in our hearts. Lord, let us contend for more, what You have. Oh, hallelujah. I praise You and I thank You, Father. I thank You that You are the God that heals. You are awesome and You're mighty. There's none like You. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Hallelujah. I praise You and I thank You, Father. Lord, there's some tonight that's on medication. I praise You and thank You that tonight that medication would be strengthened and do a deep work in their lives. I praise You tonight, Father, that You would heal people. You'd set people free. You'd restore relationships. That we'd not walk in bitterness, but we'd choose to forgive. Choose to walk in love. Father, each and every time we come into Your presence, let us come with an expectant heart, with a worshipful heart, for You're awesome. You're such a good, good Father. There's none like You, Lord. Mighty, mighty, mighty and holy, wonderful ruler and Prince of Peace. Oh, hallelujah, Father, hallelujah. Lord, there's going to be people this weekend going. Some of our women folks are going to be going to Fayetteville. I pray for divine encounters. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You have a way and You move over them. I put a hedge of protection around them. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father, we'll overcome. will overcome. I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you're no respecter of people, that your yes and amens, all your promises are yes and amen. You are Lord. You're mighty. You're awesome. We love you, Lord. I pray for a deeper enrichment, a deeper call of wisdom, counsel, and understanding. Knowledge, these are things that are of your spirit. I pray that we lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we would acknowledge you. And Father, give us somebody that needs Jesus. Give us somebody that needs healing. Somebody that needs restoration. And let us be a light. Let us point people to you and to your word and to your cross. That you be glorified and you be magnified and exalted. For you are wonderful and you're worthy to be praised. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this assembly here that as we come together every time that you show up. Oh, hallelujah, Father. You show up and you desire to show out. Let us not limit you, but release you. You're God, and we worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus, keep us, call us, beckon us, challenge us. Stir up in our sleep. Wake us up and resurrect us to know that this is our hope and our promise. This word is for us. And you be magnified and exalted in Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.